Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of CodeNewbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today we're talking about
logarithms.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts.
We are revisiting a topic from the very first season where we talked about Big O notation. So let's do a really quick refresher. What is Big O notation?
The way that I like to think about Big O notation is that it's basically like giving a grade to an algorithm. So what I mean by that is when you choose any type of algorithm to perform, or, you know, if you're manipulating a data structure, since we've learned so many different data structures on this podcast, you're usually repeating steps. Those steps are basically an algorithm. And sometimes some algorithms perform better than others. And some of them are really terrible and some of them are really excellent. And we use Big O notation to kind of compare which ones are excellent, which ones get a very good grade, and which ones are terrible and just, you know, the ones you want to avoid.
Okay, so we talked about a couple of these. Do we call them like Big O notations? Is that the right way to talk about it?
You usually would say like the Big O notation of something, or the space-time complexity of an algorithm is another term you might use that's kind of interchangeable.
But how do you talk about the grade itself?
So you'll usually say something like, this algorithm performs in linear time.
Performs constant. In. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the phrase I was missing. Okay. So we talked about a few of those. One is linear time and one is constant time. But there's also this third type of Big O notation complexity thingamajiggy called logarithmic time. So I think a good place to start for those of us who have maybe not thought about logarithms in a few years or so is to just define what a logarithm is. What is a logarithm?
So logarithms are kind of like exponents a little bit, but they're kind of like exponents flipped on their head.
And what this is like fun.
They're exponents.
Some party exponents.
They like cartwheeled and then they just were like, oh, this is pretty awesome. I'm going to stay like this.
Let's just stay here.
But a logarithm is the way that I kind of think about it. And I think the simplest definition that I can think of to describe it is the power to which a number has to be raised in order to equal another number.
Okay, that almost makes sense. Can we walk through that a little bit more?
Sure. So another way of thinking about a logarithm is, like, for example, you might say that we have the logarithm of the number x.
Okay. Yes.
It doesn't even matter what x is. It's just our variable.
Doesn't matter.
In order to really figure out what we mean by log x, what we're really trying to do is answer the question, to what power or what exponent must my log be raised in order for me to get to X?
Okay, so it's the number that the log is raised to.
Yes, and usually
to get to X.
Usually what happens is when we talk about logs, in most cases, we'll be like, the inherent meaning is that the log is a 2. So usually it's like, to what power must 2 be raised in order for me to get X?
Mm.
You could say it as 2 to the power of what will give me X.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship is what encompasses a log.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case, but in our, like, in today's episode and in the case of like logarithms in terms of like Big O notation, we're usually talking about 2 to the power of some exponent gives us a number that we're concerned with.
Okay. Yeah, this is sounding very familiar. I remember learning about logs, I think in like middle school, and there was a very exciting 10-minute period where it made sense, and then it just like all fell apart and went away. So thank you for bringing back that moment of clarity. I appreciate that.
Happy to help. I had to revisit it too. Pretty much right before we recorded this. And I was like, what was this again? I did this once, like a year ago, but I'm, obviously it has all slipped out of my mind.
So when we say that a logarithm, damn it, there's too many rhythms. When we say...
too many
right? Rhythms. Everything has a rhythm today.
The rhythm is going to get you.
And now I have to keep this part in. Okay, so... when we say that an algorithm performs in logarithmic time, what does that mean?
I think the way to think about logarithmic time, especially since we might be new to it or, you know, might need a little bit of a refresher, is to compare it to the kinds of Big O notation that we're already familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we have talked about things that operate in constant time, which means that as, you know, as your data set grows, it doesn't matter. The amount of time it will take you to do something is the same, which is really awesome. It's kind of like, you know, the A++ of everything. And then there's linear time, where as the data set that you're working with increases, the amount of time or the amount of effort you have to put in to do something to manipulate that data set also increases linearly. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we say it's O of N, which basically means if you have N number of items, it'll take you N number of steps usually to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And logarithms, or rather algorithms that run in logarithmic time, they're not quite as great as things that run in constant time. So they do increase as your data set increases. It's not like, you know, you will have a constant amount of effort no matter how big your data set is. But they're better than linear time. Because even as your data set increases, even as N, the number of elements you're working with, grows, the amount of effort and the amount of steps that you need to manipulate it with a logarithmic algorithm doesn't grow linearly. So it grows slightly. It's almost like you could say that instead of growing in doubling or quadrupling, the way you might think about something that's exponential, logarithms are way, way better in that they almost grow like incrementally by a little halves.
Interesting. Okay, so I understand that conceptually, but I'm having a hard time connecting it back to the you know, 2 to the power of something equals X, like that little equation thing that we use to describe what a logarithm is. How do those two work together? How are those related?
I think a good way of explaining how things are logarithmic is with an example, because this this can be kind of hard to imagine, but when you see it in action, hopefully it'll make a bit more sense.
Okay, cool.
So let's do it. You'll remember from a previous episode that we have recently been learning about binary trees and also binary search.
Yes.
And so binary search, the whole idea with it is that you have some sort of data set, and as long as it's sorted, you can eliminate half of your data in order to search for something. And the way you do it is, like, for example, I think we did this in a previous episode, I was like, oh, I'm thinking of a number between like 1 and 50. Can you like figure out what that number is in the minimal amount of steps? And the way you did it was, you already know the order of numbers between 1 and 50, so you pick the middle one. You pick 25 and you're like, 25. Oh, is it big? Yeah. And you're like, is it bigger or smaller? And then with each step, with each number that you guessed and asked, like, is it bigger than this number or smaller? You eliminated half the data. So in the process of narrowing down the numbers you were searching through, you were also narrowing down and eliminating half of the items that you had to search through, the items being the numbers.
Yeah.
And that is a really good example of how something can be logarithmic. And this is where the relationship between how something performs and the number of elements starts to show up. For example, let's say that I'm going to give you something really easy. And I'm going to be like, I'm thinking of a number that's either one or two. What number am I thinking of?
One.
I was thinking about one. Yes. And you know, that was a...
Because we're number one.
We are. And the nice thing about what you just did was, like, in your head, you were just like, all right, it's either going to be one or two. And you didn't really even have to think about it. You just took one step and you just guessed something.
Yeah.
You basically had one element to choose from on either side because there's no real halfway point in this situation, right?
Okay, so it's interesting. In that example, there are two items, but for me to figure out which one was the right item, I just needed one step.
Yes.
Because I can guess one and either I'm right or if I'm wrong, then I know that the answer is two. So either way, two items, but it took me one step.
Yeah, one step to get some sort of answer, whether you're right or wrong, either case.
Yeah.
Now, what if I said I'm thinking of a number between like a number that's one, two, three, or four? I'm giving you four numbers. So like now, how could you apply binary search and that same process to this situation? Now you have not two elements, but you have four elements.
Yeah. Okay. So if I have four elements and I want to cut it in half, then I'd probably say, is it more or less than two?
Mm-hmm. And then I would say it is more than two.
Okay. So then I know it's either three or four. So then I would say, well, I guess at that point I would just guess. So I would say, is it four?
And then I'd say, no, it's actually three. Can't
Damn
win them
it.
All.
Damn it. Okay. All right. Fine.
But the nice thing is, how many steps did it take you to get that?
It took me two steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I had four items, two steps. First one, I cut it in half, and then I only had two left, so I just picked one. So four items, two steps. Okay, cool.
Okay, now I'm going to make it twice as hard, actually. Instead of four items, I'm going to tell you I'm thinking about a number between one and eight. So now you have eight items.
Mm-hmm. I can do this. I can do this. Okay. So I'm going to apply the same principles. I'm going to cut it in half. So I'm going to say, is it more or less than four?
More than four.
Okay. So we have five, six, seven, eight. So I'm going to say more or less than six.
More than six.
Okay. So now I can either pick seven or eight. I feel like I'm like one for two right now. So I'm just in so much pressure. Eight.
Good job. It was eight.
Yay. Okay. So in that example, we had eight items to pick from. First one, we cut in half. That's step one. Then we cut in half again, step two. And then there were only two to pick from. So then I picked, and that's three steps. So eight items, three steps.
Okay. I'm going to double it again, for fun. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 16.
Okay. 16 divided by 2. It's funny because in my head there are literally a line, like there's a long line of 16 objects and I'm like, where's that half point? Okay. Even though like it's obviously 16 divided by 2, but in my mind it's like, where's the middle box? Okay. So more or less than 8?
It is less than 8.
Okay. Went the other way this time. Okay. More or less than, switching it up, more or less than 4?
More than 4.
Okay. More or less than 6?
Less than 6.
5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was 4 steps.
That was 4 steps.
So we had 16 items. We cut it in half. We cut it in half again. We cut it in half again. And then we had 2 to
and
pick
you
from.
Guessed. Yeah.
And then I guessed. Yeah.
And that was your last step.
Okay. I feel like I'm really good at this, by the way. This whole like guessing thing.
Well, this binary search algorithm you're using is proving to be very handy.
No, it's because I'm a genius, okay? Obviously. So it's all me.
Obviously. Sorry. I'm obviously not stroking your ego. That mathematical ego. So, okay. I want to point out something. So we started off with two numbers. Then we went to 4. Then we went to 8. Mm-hmm. Then we went to 16. Mm-hmm. So each time, I was doubling the number of numbers you had to choose from.
Yeah.
And I made it, you know, twice as hard each time.
Yes.
But this was interesting. Do you notice how many steps you had to take in each situation? So like when there were two items, you took
just one
step. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, all right, make it harder. 4 items. And you took 2 steps.
Just 2. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, fine. Harder. 8 items. And it took you 3 steps. And then we got to 16 items.
Yeah.
And it took you 4 steps. So.
Interesting.
I don't know if you noticed. There's like a little bit of a pattern going on here where the number of times you had to check things has like an interesting relationship to the number of elements I made you choose from.
Okay. So I don't. Just from that, I can't like figure out what the formula is. But in general, the increase in the collection is getting a lot bigger, but the steps, the amount of work I have to do is still getting bigger. But like you mentioned, you know, earlier, it's very incremental. It's not that big of a jump. It's like a linear relationship with the steps, but the number of items is doubling each time.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting about this is that the number of items you had to check each time because you were using binary search was, you know, getting cut in half, right? So the interesting thing is when I was like, I'm going to give you 8 items, in that situation, we could say that the number of elements you were searching through was 8. So for example, if we're using, you know, the terms that we're used to, N, as in N from, you know, Big O notation, N was equal to 8. And I was like, all right, here's 8 items, N is 8. How many steps can you do it in? And you did it in 3 steps.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, when I was like, all right, N is 16, how many steps can you do it in? You did it in 4 steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's interesting is that with each step, you were splitting the data enough times until N was just 1, right? When you just had 1 thing left.
Because I had 1 number left over. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can kind of think about it as you are continually checking your items and making comparisons until the number of items is equal to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so we determined that there is some relationship, and I can like feel the relationship, you know, like I can see that like N is doubling, the steps are just increasing plus 1, but I assume there's like a formula to that, and I can't really place the formula. What can we use to describe that in mathy terms?
Yeah. So we know we have N, which is the number of elements, mm-hmm. or in our example, the number of numbers that I told you to search through.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we have some sort of relationship with the number of steps that you had to take.
Yes.
And you did say that, you know, oh, it's growing kind of linearly, but then, you know, you're doubling the number of elements and there's something weird there. So in mathematical terms, there is a formula that's kind of underlying here, which we can kind of describe as N, the total number of items, is equal to 2 to the power of X, where X is the number of steps that we had to take. Another way of thinking about it is the number of times that we need to divide, you know, N, the number of times that we had to divide our data set until you had the one thing left and you guessed either correctly or incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what X is. X tells us like the number of times we had to half that set of numbers or the data set or all the elements or items that you were searching through.
Okay, so let's prove that. Okay, so the first example you gave me was just two items, either 1 or 2. So we know that that only took 1 step to figure out. So if we plug that into our formula, we have N equals 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 2 equals 2 to the power of X. And so we know that 2 to the power of 1 equals 2. So X is one, and that is what we know because it only took one step to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so far I believe you. Let's do another check. Let's see how this this little formula of yours holds up. Let's do eight. Okay. So if we plug 8 into this formula, we have 8 equals 2 to the power of x. And mm-hmm. the thing that we care about is what is that value of x? How many steps does it take?
Mm-hmm.
So if we do 8 equals 2 to the power of x, first of all, how do you even solve for the exponent? I don't even remember. I swear, I don't remember how any of this crap works. How do you solve for the exponent? I'm going to look up. Because yeah, like for the simple ones, you can kind of figure it out. But I want to. Okay, so if I have 8, let's do a big number, 8, and I plug that into my formula, I have 8 equals 2 to the power of x. Now, I know, because I remember that, you know, I know it took 3 steps, and I also know that 2 to the power of 3 does equal 8. But just for my own feelings of wanting to be smartness, that was English, I want to know, like, how do you actually solve for x if you don't just, like, know intuitively what that number is, especially if that n gets really big.
Yep.
So I did, like, a quick Google search, and it brought me back to my algebra days that I don't miss. I don't miss this part of algebra. So the way to solve for x, if you're curious, is to take the log log to base 10 on each side and isolate the x and solve for x. So in our example, if we have 8 equals 2 to the power of x, then we would take the log base 10 for each side, and then we would get log 8 equals x log 2, and then we divide by log 2 on both sides to isolate the x. So now we have log 8 divided by log 2 equals x, and if you put that in your calculator, you will get 3. So there you go, math.
Ellen's everywhere.
Damn it, Ellen.
For some context, Saran was like Googling this, by the way. And she was like, oh, damn it, Ellen. And I was like, who's Ellen? And then she was like, oh, no, I'm in LN, like log. And it was very funny. And I don't think I'm doing a good job of making it funny.
It was really funny. So great because – obviously, you can't see what I'm searching, but in my mind, you know everything that I think. And
of course
so,
I do. I think that all the time.
And your question was so genuine. You're like, "Who's Ellen?" Oh my god, I died. I absolutely died. Okay, awesome. So that's the relationship. That's how we're able to describe that significant increase in the number of items, but a very minimal increase in the amount of steps it takes for us to find the item that we're looking for.
Yeah. And another interesting thing about this, since we kind of sunk our teeth into the math of this a little bit, is you can rewrite the same equation that you described and the one that we've been playing with where n equals 2 to the power of x. You could rewrite this and say that n, the total number of items, multiplied by 1/2 to the power of x will equal 1, which will help you kind of solve. Because sometimes, you know, some people will be able to understand how to solve for x or solve for something when you see an equation, you know, rearranged. That's kind of equivalent, where if you think about with binary search, all we were doing every single time that we made, you know, took a step, every single time you were like, oh, is it bigger or less than this number? You were halving it.
Yeah.
So you can say that the number of items that we are searching through multiplied by 1/2 to the power of steps
gets us to that one.
Gives us one. Yeah.
And
it's a similar thing too, where I said, you know, say that n is equal to 8 and 2 to the power of 3 is 8. So now n and 2 to the power of 3 are equivalent. So you balance the equation and there, you know, you have a whole number, one on each side.
Very cool. And that's the end of today's show. If you like what you heard, leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post on logarithms. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I helped make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels.
and the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee.
Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. Stupid Ellen. Do you remember Ellen?
Who's Ellen?
LN, like log, like Ellen.
Oh.
That was amazing. Oh, that was the best.
That was a good blooper.
That was a great
blooper. I genuinely thought you were like on Ellen's blog and Ellen was explaining this. And I was like, wow, her blog must suck. Ellen's terrible.
Such an idiot.
Oops.